silence on cell phones, electronic devices. Commissioner Blackstone, would you read some last one?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
If you would follow me, please. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Mr. Jackson. Ms. Hutchins, would you call the roll, please?
Yes. Chair Heasley.
Present.
Vice Chair Dur.
Here.
Commissioner Machen.
Here.
Commissioner Barnhart.
Present.
Commissioner Paxton.
Here.
Commissioner Thomas.
Here.
Commissioner Wyatt.
Here.
Commissioner Lopez is excused. Commissioner Eble is excused. And Commissioner Daly. We have four.
Thank you. We need staff to consent items are considered routine in nature and may be enacted in one motion. All public and non-public hearings will be opened at one time. Any item may be discussed separately upon request of a member of the planning commission or a member of the public. What does staff recommend for the consent agenda?
Yes, thank you, Chair. We actually would like to have three items on consent. There is currently the minutes. Staff is also recommending that items 3 and 4 be added to the consent calendar, if that's okay with the chair and the commission.
Is any commissioner or member of the public wish to pull anything from the consent agenda? Apparently not. Are there any corrections or additions to the minutes?
Yes, there is a revision to the minutes on page 5. Towards the bottom of the page, it says the commission went into closed session. There actually was not a closed session item that evening. It actually should have said the commission closed the public hearing.
Thank you. Motion to
Mr. Chairman. Excuse me, Mr. Chairman, I think just for the members of the public that will be present, that at least the title of the agenda items 3 and 4 should be stated.
Yeah, I was going to
get
there. So if the commission agrees, all three items, item 3 would be administrative development permit 13-23 and public convenience of necessity letter 1503, a request for approval and administrative development permit to provide an alcohol beverage control license type 20 for off-sale beer and wine for an existing 26,907 square foot 99 cent retail facility located at 2028 East Highland Avenue. That is item 3. That item is being continued to a public hearing on April 15th of 2015. Item number 4 is Development Code Amendment 14-20, which is a city-initiated request to amend Titles 5, 12, and 19 of the San Bernardino Municipal Code to make changes to code sections relating to temporary use permit and special event permits. These changes would apply citywide, and staff is recommending that the Planning Commission recommend the Development Code Amendment 14-20 to the Mayor and Common Council.
Are there any questions for staff? Entertain a motion.
I move we approve the consent agenda.
I have a motion.
Second.
I have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Unanimous. Next item will be where we're opening the public hearing. Public hearing items. Planning Commission will first hear a report from the staff, and a public hearing will be open. The applicant will have an opportunity to speak. Next, members of the public will be allowed 3 minutes to speak. Anyone in the audience wishing to speak must be sworn in and also fill out a request to speak form. The forms are located on the table near the door. When your name is called, come forward and speak into the microphone. Say and spell your name and give your address for the tape record. After all have spoken, the applicant will be allowed to respond. The public hearing will then be closed and the Planning Commission will begin deliberations and make a decision. All actions except general plan amendments and amendments to the Municipal Development Code are final action unless appeal is filed and fee paid within 15 days to the Community Development Department. You challenge the resultant action of the Planning Commission in court and may be limited to raising only those issues you or someone else raised at the public hearing described in this agenda or written in correspondence delivered to the Community Development Department at or prior to the public hearing. Would you administer the oath to anybody who wishes to speak?
I'll actually be administering the oath, Chair. Any member of the public, including the applicant who wishes to speak, would need to raise and stand and raise your right hand if he's sworn in. If you can, repeat after me. Do you solemnly affirm that the testimony you are about to give before this body will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? If so, do say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. You may be
seated. Thank you very much. Item number two.
Thank you. Item number two tonight is conditional use permit 1421. It's a request to establish a church in a vacant 121,105 square foot industrial building. As part of the church, there would be a 16,641 square foot primary sanctuary. As you said, I'll just recap. The proposed project is to establish a church in an existing 121,000 square foot industrial building. That would include a 16,641 square foot sanctuary, associated offices, and would also provide facilities for educational services for grades kindergarten through high school. Those would be ancillary to the primary service for youth ministries and the like. The property address is 4680 North Hallmark Parkway and it's located in the industrial life zone. A little background on the project. On December 18th of 2014, CUP 1421 was reviewed by the Development and Environmental Review Committee and the Idaho 2 Planning Commission. And then on the 5th of March 2015, we emailed the notices to all property owners within 500 feet of the subject property. There's a location map of the site. As you can see, it's located entirely within an industrial area. There's is Hallmark and then the cross street is Shenandoah Parkway, or Shenandoah Way, apologize. There's an aerial of the site. You can see existing fully developed site. Here's just a rough site plan of how they propose to lay out the facility. Completely within the existing building. You can see the large sanctuary area towards the lower right. There's a floor plan of the facility, so the first floor. At the sanctuary, there is a couple of smaller ministries to the north and east of the main of the primary sanctuary, and then just the other associated offices surrounding. The second floor includes some of the school facilities or the educational facilities, as well as the first floor. There's some elevations of the proposed building, or how they went on modifying the building. You said entirely repainting the building, no actual modifications to the structure. There's another elevation showing you the full size of the building. And then, sorry, I don't know if this is it's a little dark on the screen, sorry about that. There's some existing photos of the current building and one more of the site. And conclusion is that the project does satisfy all findings of fact required for conditional use permit 1421, and our recommendation is that the Planning Commission approve CUP 1421 based on the findings of fact contained in the staff report and subject to the conditions of approval. Additionally, staff would like to propose two changes to the conditions as outlined in the staff report. The first one, on request of the applicant, the condition 19, where changes in the operations plan would require approval by the Planning Commission. We'd like to change that to staff approval. And then we'd also like to add condition, it would be now condition number complaint to read, before the establishment of a soup kitchen or any homeless services, approval of a separate conditional use permit shall be required.
I believe that's condition 21, correct?
I would make that 20, so the condition 20 would become 21, that one would be inserted in.
I see, okay.
Do all the commissioners, your mic is not working as well as it could, so I want to make sure all the commissioners understand what that additional condition was.
Sorry, I will read it again. Sorry, the mic's, I guess it's not picking up properly. We would like to add, as condition 20, moving the existing number 20 down to 21, a new condition to read, before the establishment of a soup kitchen or any homeless services, approval of a separate conditional use permit shall be required.
Thank you. Developer, have any presentation you wish to make, he or she wishes to make, or?
Good evening, honorable commission. On behalf of the Wayward Outreach, my name is Michael Rivera. I'd like to thank you guys for your time this evening. Thanks to staff, Travis and Aaron, for getting this to staff approval. We're excited about the project. We're available for any questions.
Yeah, would you go ahead and give your name? I'd spell your name.
Sure. Michael Rivera, M-I-C-H-A-E-L, Rivera, R-I-V-E-R-A.
And your address, please, sir?
Sure. 2916 Genevieve Street, San Bernardino, California.
Okay, thank you. Any commissioners have any questions to ask of the applicant? Looks like it's going right on through. Any questions for staff? I close the hearing now. Public hearing. Thank you, sir. And we'll deliberate. Any questions? Commissioner Madison.
Just a comment. I'm very aware of the great work that Wayward Outreach has done in our city. Not only the ministry, but all the family support services they provided to many, many families in need in the city, which is, I think, probably one of the reasons our congregation has grown so large, and one of the reasons they need a new facility. So I'm in total support of this recommendation.
Thank you. Commissioner Thompson.
Your current facility on Parkdale and Sierra Way, is that facility going to go away? Or are you going to continue to use that facility in conjunction with a new facility?
Yeah, we currently do not plan to simultaneously occupy both premises. We're moving to the new location.
Okay.
Do you have no additional comments, questions? I heard your motion.
If I get this right, I'm going to move approval conditional use permit 14-21 as amended, with the understanding there has to be a separate CUP for the food-related activity. Based on findings of fact contained in the staff report and subject to conditional approval.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None? Unanimous? Thank you very much, sir. Non-public hearing items. Public comments, item not on agenda. None. Planning commission reports or announcements? None. Looks like we're going to get out of here fairly quick tonight. Director's report.
Yes, thank you, Chair and Commissioners. We continued the annual report from the last meeting, but given the fact that we're missing several commissioners this evening and that Aaron isn't here and he did most of the work, well, he and Travis did most of the work on the annual report and processing of applications, I would recommend that this annual report be again continued to your next meeting in April. I think it'd probably be most appropriate to do that.
Thank you.
I do have, if that's okay, I do have two other quick items. One is an update on the development code amendment. As you will recall, we had a study session back in early January with the consultant. She has given staff a draft report of the issues that have been identified by the outreach efforts that we've undertaken. Again, those are meetings with the Planning Commission. There's been a staff level review committee that's been meeting monthly. And there's also the City Council appointed a working group of outside users, developers, and architects that do a lot of work with the city. They also met once to provide input, and I will be attending the Neighborhood Association Council President's meeting on May 2nd to gather input from community groups. Once that is done, we will prepare a final list of issues, bring that back to the Planning Commission, hopefully at your May meeting, and then forward that on to the City Council. That then will actually begin the drafting of the new code sections. That will take place over the summer, and we are on schedule to have a draft for public comment available by fall of next year. I should say fall of this year, excuse me. So that's an update on the development code, and I know there's been a lot of questions not only from the commission, but several members of the public as to, you know, when there'll be drafts to react to. Again, those drafts, the new language won't be available until the fall. So as soon as that is available, we will be posting that on the department website.
Is it too early to share the list of the partners involved in this from the business community that
No, it's not.
Well, should it be held until such time as you further along?
You want to know the names, or you want to know the issues of the folks involved?
The people involved in a lot of transparency.
Sure. Yeah, I don't have the draft report in front of me, and I don't have the list of names. They were adopted by the council. I do remember some of the individuals. Dan Carlone with Carlone Construction is a part of that group. Scott Beard is a part of that group.
My point is not so much for our benefit.
Sure.
Is, again, I'm constantly focusing on we need to be transparent within our city.
Agreed.
Is this something that could be put on the website? Is this the group of individuals that are working with the city to revise the development code? Again, I am getting feedback from people out in the community that are looking at the website, and they are tremendously in favor of the changes that have been done so far to, as far as community development, becoming transparent and letting the public review what's going on. The newsletter is well received, put in the annual report, the project, major project list on that. Oh, wow, did you see what was here? As you went up to that meeting, at that town hall meeting,
right,
everybody had already seen that document because
right,
they all looked at it. We have concerned citizens, they go on to actually pay attention to what you're putting on the website.
Which is exactly what we want to see.
And so I was looking to make sure that whatever we're doing as a group, including us, that is permissible being put out there. Obviously redacting phone numbers, et cetera, like that, potential description of this is the group that's working on it.
Yeah, we can certainly, when the draft report is done, the names of the people involved will be a part of that. Again, the council adopted that, or the list of participants in this working group was a part of the staff report that the council approved back in December. So it is public information. I just can't recall the names of all the individuals on the group. But I'm very much, and everybody in my department's very much in favor of full disclosure. So you guys live here, you need to know what's going on in the community, and our job is to tell you.
Any other comments?
As we come into April, I don't know if that special meeting that we're going to have, but didn't come about, was about the Carousel Mall property?
It was not, actually. It was a separate project down actually on Hospitality Lane, and that the applicant at this point has chosen not to go forward with the project.
Okay.
But I know that there was a question previously on the Carousel Mall update or disposition, and I'm happy to give a brief update on that. Some of you may know that a letter was sent out by the new deputy city manager, Bill Manis, started in mid-November, and in at the end of November, a letter was sent out to, a solicitation letter was sent out to 80 developers across the nation that gave really a profile of the Carousel Mall and the downtown core. Talked about the new development that was going on, the SBX line, the transit center, which is opening at the end of summer, the new Justice Center, and invited them to submit a letter of interest. We received 9 letters of interest in response to that, and we are interviewing 8 of those firms. The interview panel consists of the city manager, Bill Manis, myself, and Jim Morris. We're interviewing 8 of the 9 firms. We will then invite 3 or 4 of those firms back to a second round of interview. And at that point, we'll bring in a economic consultant, as well as probably a member from the development community, whether it's Loma Linda University. We want somebody who doesn't do private sector development, but still understands development. So Loma Linda's got a number of projects that they're obviously doing. So we've talked about potentially bringing in somebody from Loma Linda to provide some outside validity to the process. Those interviews will probably take place in late April or early May, and at the conclusion of that, staff will recommend a single entity to the council to enter into what's called an exclusive negotiating agreement, which is typically a 6-month period where the city and the developer will work with the community to determine what is the ultimate use of the property. And it's an exclusive period, again, where no other developer can come in and try to work with the city on that property. So we hope to be into the ENA period, is what that's called, sometime by midsummer. And the ENA period would run basically from the summer through the end of the calendar year. At that point, we hope to be done with the Department of Finance review process, and we would then be able to actually sell the property, the Carousel Mall, to the winning developer. So that's kind of a high level overview on where we are on the Carousel Mall.
Thank you.
Certainly.
Any anybody have anything else they'd like to bring to Mark's attention? Well, Mark, thank you again. Ms. Schaff is,
you're welcome,
is cranking it up, getting good feedback from people that I know in the development community that they're not having any of the old issues and getting things through.
Good. Happy to hear it.
I want to take a motion.